Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
We are continuing our holiday gift list with three more fantastic book recommendations from staff, as well as three books that may not be the best gifts for the loved ones in your lives, depending on who they are. So with us today, we have Chasley, our children's librarian. We have Jenna, our marketing librarian.
Hi.
And we have Sam, our PC tech.
Hey.
And he's not going to recommend anything about coding, right?
Maybe.
I guess we'll see. That was a spoiler.
How to use your iPhone.
Well,
we are going to start from recommendations for the youngest readers all the way up to our oldest readers, which means that Chasley gets to go first.
All right, so you want to hear about my top 100 picks, right? That's what we're doing here?
Yeah, no, I'm ready.
It is hard to pick just one picture book, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I ended up narrowing it down to just 2018 and still ended up with a ridiculous list, both because it's been a really good year, but also because, like, the picture book is the most underrated art form, I believe, in the entire world. There's just some amazing stuff that's happening here, and I don't feel like enough people are paying attention. So my number one recommendation, if I have to pick for this year, is Natsumi by Susan Lindroth and Priscilla Burris. I don't want to give you like the whole plot of the thing, but what I do want to tell you is why this book, of all of the books that I have read this year, which is hundreds, actually stands out as the best book for kids and for families. Natsumi is a little girl. She's a bit much. She is loud, and she is fast, and she does things too hard and too much, and she's constantly just like, she's constantly getting scolded and getting in trouble, but she's also just really, like, colorful. Like, she's doing stuff. This is a kid who's gonna go places. She stands out even among, like, the other crazy kids, and it's hard because, like, she wants to be a part, like, her family is doing this festival that's, like, part of their community, and she wants to be a part of everything, but everything she does, she messes up, until her grandfather steps in and is like, look, you mess stuff up when you do things too fast or too hard or too loud, but that's you. So let's find something that fits you. And he gets her to be part of a taiko drumming group. And that's how she gets to be a part of her family's festival. I picked out other books that I thought were really, like, funnier for parents, or that had, like, really good feminist lessons, like Everything by Beth Ann Wolven. I'm sneaking in extra recommendations there. But if you didn't hear, the Honest Toddler creator, Bunmi Ladadan, has a new book out this year called The Big Bed. You should definitely check that one out too. But back to this one. I'm only making one recommendation, and that's Natsumi by Susan Lindroth. It's fantastic. The art is beautiful. Natsumi is adorable, and all of the art is beautiful.
Tell us real quick about The Honest Toddler, though.
Okay. The Honest Toddler. So Bunmi Ladadan, she does tweets, blogs, and books, and it's all from the point of view of a toddler who is honest, and by that, she means kind of a jerk. And so, like, the toddler... some of her, like, top, like, tweets, she'll say things like, Lady at the Park is telling everyone she has a baby in her tummy. Like, eating children is something to be proud of. And one of my all-time favorites, when their words say goodnight, but their tone says, don't call me in here again, I'm done parenting for the day. Hashtag toddler problems. She's just very, very funny. And her book, The Big Bed, this year, about a little girl who wants to get her daddy onto a cot off of the bed so that she and mommy can share the big bed together, is hilarious. And the art is beautiful. The pictures are by Tom Knight, and it is fantastic and hilarious. The parents will definitely enjoy this more than the kids do. The kids will be like, oh, those are all good recommendations, and the parents will be not able to read because they're laughing too hard.
That's awesome. The best kind of picture books really have appeal to both the readers and to the kids.
You're gonna have to read it a lot.
Exactly.
Jenna brought another humor book.
You guys want to give me a couple minutes? I kind of want to sit here and read The Big Bed.
We'll pause.
I'll read it later. Yeah, so I recommend Calypso by David Sedaris. David Sedaris is one of my favorites. He's hilarious, but he's also very kind of dark, kind of muted. His humor isn't really for everybody, but his humor is definitely for me, and I love it.
He's like my road trip author. Like, I really like to get his audiobooks and listen to him when I'm driving.
Yeah, he has a bunch of other books besides Calypso, and they're all essays, they're all humor, memoir. Some other titles of note are Me Talk Pretty One Day, which is my second favorite, Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim, Holidays on Ice, and then he's also known for making cameos on This American Life, NPR, quite often. He's kind of a weird guy. So Calypso in particular, I listened to the audio, and I'm recommending his audio. That he's, that's like the only way to read his books.
Yes, it really is. Yeah. And it's like one step down from seeing him live, honestly.
Really? Have you seen him live?
Yeah, I have. Oh. I have.
So does he do his own audio for all of them?
Yeah. He narrates his own books, and that's the only way to read them, because his voice is so interesting. It's kind of like high-pitched, and it's just, it's, he has such an interesting voice,
and now I can't read his essays without hearing it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So even if you've listened to one of his books, you can read the rest of them and just hear his voice in your head, yeah, in case you can't get them on audio. But Calypso is a story, it's kind of, it's essays about his family. He rents a summer house, or a beach house in the Carolinas, and he invites his whole family, and the name of his beach house is called the C-section. It's amazing. And he mentions it in the beginning of the book, and like more than halfway through he mentions it again, and I was like, wait, C-section, what? Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot that that's what he named his house. So he invites his family, and while they're all there, he's kind of reminiscing about like his family from his childhood. It covers topics from like suicide, so this book will have you laughing, rolling, and then in the very next chapter you kind of want to like reach into the book and give him a hug, even though he would probably hate that.
yeah he would probably.
Yeah, he totally would hate that. But this is a great dark humor book. It hits you with all kinds of emotions, and I recommend it to anybody that loves humor and loves to laugh, but also has a sense of humor.
And then we are going to take it way down to more of a darker side of our recommendations, and Sam brought a mystery title.
Yeah, the more I was sitting here thinking about the books I've done, I really have a thing for apocalyptic books, apparently. But there, I like a lot of stories where people, the story happens more inside the author's head, or I guess your main character, so this is always good.
And I have to ask, do you like those books because you can read them and think, oh, it could always be worse, or?
No, it's more like, you know, it puts you into
cautionary
the situation. You're reading sort of the inner dialogue of the person, like they're thinking a lot. So it's not just like, you know, and then Bill walked to the end of the street. You know, it's like, oh man, how am I going to handle this? You get to kind of feel the panic and everything.
Yeah, so
it's
real and there are very like real physical like dangers in those kinds of books.
Exactly. So, what I went with was Bird Box by Josh Malerman. I guess that's how you say it. People just start killing themselves. No one really knows why at first, and over time you find out why, but the world starts getting smaller and smaller, and they start realizing that it's something people are seeing. So, anytime someone goes outside, they have to cover their eyes, and so the story starts with her having to go outside, and it follows, I guess, the adventures as the world ends, and people are killing themselves due to something they're seeing.
That sounds very Lovecraftian.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's an uplifting book, good holiday read.
Yeah.
You know, after you spend a day with the family, it may be a good thing to read and kind of imagine that they all go outside.
Way to make that even darker.
It's like, man, this
is a little
bit. Imagine
really
if they looked out the window.
How lucky can you be to not have all these people around? So I think it's a good post-Christmas book, you know.
And there's another reason why you're recommending that one, right?
There is. There's a very good reason, because right around Christmas time, it will be released on Netflix as a movie.
Mm. I believe starring Sandra Bullock, so.
Which is an odd choice, because I think the main character, at least what I gather from the book, is rather young, so.
What do you Sandra say? Bullock is young, in quotations.
I'm young, too.
In quotations. Hollywood, everyone is like 10 years younger than they appear.
So, I'm looking forward to seeing it now that I've read the book, so I can shake my fist at the screen and go,
yes,
the book was better.
And that one actually has been a staff favorite. A bunch of us have actually read it, and
I read it,
enjoyed
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was last, you know, but everyone kept saying, like, this is good. It's like, it just sounded like, oh, it sounds hokey. Like, I went into this not really, you know, I was, like, humoring Brandy. She was like, oh, it's really good. I was like, well, we're driving for 7 hours. I'll just put it on. And then I was like, whoa. And then because she read so slow on the audiobook version, when I got home, I was like, no more audiobook. I sat down and just tore through the last, like, 50 pages in 20 minutes, because it was like, I can't wait. You know, I have to get through and see what happens. It was that good for me that I had to go and sit down and actually manually read like a peasant. You know,
it's terrible.
You couldn't pay someone else to read for you.
Right. So it was terrible, but I had to manually read the end of it because I wanted to get through it faster. So that's my review.
Library problems.
Yeah. Right. As much as we love our recommendations, though, there's always a special place in our heart for unrecommendations. So, what book wouldn't you recommend?
I present to you The Saddest Toilet in the World by Sam Apple. I have to say, like, I'm a big fan of the absurd. Like, there's not really such a thing as, like, oh, this book is just too absurd that I'm not going to enjoy it. This was, like, absurd and then, like, but just, So the saddest toilet in the world is so sad because the little boy and his family doesn't want to sit on him. He and the mom have, like, these conversations about how he can feel better, but the boy still doesn't want to sit on him, so he packs his bag and he leaves town.
So is this trying to guilt children into using the toilet?
Or it almost sounds like everybody's taking hallucinogens.
That is way more what it sounds like, yes, than anything else. And this child, who looks like he's probably 8 or 9 and is probably should figure this out already,
gets scared of his parents. I wouldn't want to sit on a toilet that talks either.
Right? That is his mouth. Like, that, the lid is feeling, like...
He has a scarf and a little tap hat and
he
tiny
does,
suitcase.
Yeah. And so he has all these adventures, selfies with strangers.
But hold on, he's from Gryffindor. Look at that scarf.
Oh, well, that makes a difference.
He's wearing a Gryffindor scarf.
He is, yes. But anyway, they chase him all around this city, you know, through the subway. They eventually find him and convince him to come back home because the boy promises that he will sit on him.
And then he does. Yeah, that's
yes,
in the
they
book.
Show that.
Look at him go.
And then they all go out to celebrate on a roller coaster.
I mean, since that is his mouth, it's kind of weirdly perverted, honestly.
Yeah, like there's something wrong with this book.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I love picture books, but I do not love this one. There you go. You can skip it.
Crossing the line.
There you go, guys. It's a big N-O from our children's librarian. Jenna, what wouldn't you recommend?
So I have a disclaimer. I love this book, but it would make a terrible gift.
Okay.
I recommend not recommending. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Outlander by Diana Gabaldon.
What?
I know.
There'll be riots in the street.
Let me explain. Give me a chance. Okay. So, if you are not familiar with Outlander, every book is like 800 pages.
Yeah.
They are gigantic. So, first of all, you have to be really strong to hold up the books. Okay. They're huge. And second of all, if you give the first book to somebody, they have to keep
You're kind
reading.
Of obligating them yeah. for, like, 7 more very expensive books.
Right. So I finished the first book while I was sitting in the Subaru dealership waiting for an oil change. And I was reading it on my Kindle. So I finished it, and I was like, oh, my God, wait, it ended? Because it just, like, abruptly ends. And I'm sitting there like, well, what do I do now? So I went on Access, and I downloaded the second one right away because, like, you have to know what happens.
Yeah.
So if you give them the first one, then they have to read all of them. And there are 8 books so far, and we're waiting on book 9, and have been. So, mm-hmm. like, oh. people are going to be waiting for
and
that.
And it's one thing if you buy it for them, but then you're obligating them for, like, $20-something books if they want to own this whole set and don't want to get it from Access.
Exactly. Well, so you don't want to buy somebody the first book of a series that's not finished yet. That's like, here, I hate you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I do that George all the time.
It's like a glorified drug dealer. Here's a taste.
Here's your starter.
So what if it's a George R. R. Martin scenario and they just
never finish? Oh, my God. Yeah, so, I mean, if the book number 9 never comes out,
yeah,
that would be terrible.
It's always fan fiction. We'll be okay.
Yeah,
that's
we can
true.
Guess.
And, I mean, if you are going to give this to somebody, don't do it. Then at least wait until they're retired and have a lot of time on their hands to read. So, and I love Diana Gabaldon in Outlander, so.
The writing is exquisite.
Oh,
now, the scenes get pretty steamy in there.
Yeah, I mean, people think that it's a romance, but I wouldn't say it's a romance.
I think it's because it starts kind of romance heavy, but then they're like, romance doesn't matter, let's talk about war.
I mean, that is what happens when the love fades or whatever.
Yeah. Just talk about war.
Wait a minute. Did you just ruin that for me? I'm not done with it yet, Leslie. All right, so.
Sam?
Well, I was going to cop out and go with a workout book or a diet book, which is always, like, the most offensive book you can give somebody. But instead, I went with something which is, oddly enough, I'm getting as a present for somebody, but I feel is a very limited audience who would be into this book and enjoy it as a Christmas gift. I went with Everyone Poops 410 Pounds a Year.
Another poop book?
It is also a picture book. So me and Chasley just showed up in the same thing without even realizing it.
Oh, gosh.
This one's got, you know, I guess far less kind of odd fetish thing happening. It's it's actually a picture book that explains how pooping works and how human beings at minimum poop 410 pounds a year. And there's such wonderful information as when poop turns deadly, what the colors mean.
Oh.
What different things, you know, where it goes, what happens when it leaves your body. And all sorts of wonderful things you can get that person in your life who's just interested in toilet humor.
If you think about it, that means they're pooping like 2 to 4 times their body weight every year.
Yeah. That's what there's even a picture in the book of a person on a scale and it's a drawing, it's not a photograph.
It's good information.
Very realistic 410 pile of poop.
What is your
But you know, you have to have someone who's really interested in how things work.
Yeah.
And you know, but with a childish 5-year-old sense of humor, which fortunately my grandmother-in-law is totally that person.
So. I think it happens more than you think.
Yeah. Maybe someone studying up on their gut bacteria and health.
This is probably one of those books that's like, gross, I hate this. And then when everyone leaves, you're like, ooh.
It's
the one
the
that you publicly don't want.
It's that morbid curiosity.
Well, wouldn't you just set it, like, use it as a bathroom book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learn like about your guest poop bathroom. While you make it. Well, that was some quality entertainment, guys.
Can we end this with a toilet flush?
I know, right? I think I can make that happen. We're going to find a toilet flush for y'all.
Okay. All right. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.